your shoulder to the forehead. Hold it tight. The bartender, he can't get in.
Welcome to Game Store Profits, where we talk about God, gaming, and groups. I'm your host, Daniel Fisher, and today I have the Abbot to my Costello, Mr. Jeff Romo. How you doing, Jeff?
Love it. I mean, these are the kind of things that bring me back. The old school comedy, right? I mean, Abbot Costello face off against Frankenstein, you know?
Yeah.
Abbot Costello versus the Mummy. I mean, you got to flash forward. I mean, if you wanted something newer, I guess, you know, like...
My favorite's when they always would take, like, the Three Stooges or Abbott and Costello and stick them in with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, man. That's that's so good. Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
You know, they were everywhere. They went to Gilligan's Island, too.
I know. That was my childhood. Yeah. Growing up with stuff like that. And I didn't understand certain things as a child. And so, you know, we had all the Abbott and Costello and... When, you know, Young Frankenstein, the first time I saw it, I really thought it was an old movie.
Right.
And I didn't realize it wasn't as old as the Abbott and Costello stuff.
And, like, the first time that I saw Lethal Weapon, I realized that Riggs and Murtaugh are not Abbott and Costello.
No, they're not.
It's close. Just Abbott and Costello with guns.
Yes.
Where the heck are we? What are we doing here?
Well, I think we're recording a podcast.
What are we talking about again?
I think we were going to talk about dinner. Made this really... Oh.
No. That's a negatory, good buddy.
I think Mike nipped that one in the bud. Like,
I could feel him reaching through the Ethernet and strangling me with my own beard.
Now, is the Ethernet like a network that's made in the ether?
It's a combination of the internet and then the ghostly realms. Yeah.
Okay.
You caught that pretty good, man. Yeah, God, we are such a couple of nerds.
Yeah, we should make a game based on that, the Ethernet.
Wait a second.
Yeah, you see where I'm going? Okay. I see you thinking about it now. Now we're gonna have to take this conversation offline.
That's right. That's not good audio.
Yeah.
God, gaming, and groups.
Yes.
This is, what, Game Store Profits episode 185, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
My gosh, we're going bonkers. Give us 2 weeks away from the boss and look at what we do.
I know. We're insane.
Yeah. And all you kids at home, don't worry. TR Knight is very much still alive, still with us, still into this. But unfortunately, he was gravimetrically pressed into his job for the rest of the evening, and unfortunately it's probably creeping into the 10 o'clock hour and he's still in emergency mode at his workplace. So he passes along his sorries, his apologies that he couldn't be here, but we'll get him back in the seat next time, whatever it takes, however many natural 20s we have to roll, it's gonna happen. That's not why we're here. We love TR. We love Mike Perna. We're raising up prayers for all the troubles that are going on in the Perna household. In such a way that he knows that we love him.
Yes.
But we're talking about other stuff today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, talking about other stuff. So what's going on in your life?
Well. Projects.
Dangerous question.
Work. Actually, I've worked out a deal to get a really cool copy of a really old game that I would get to pick up tomorrow, and it's one I've never actually played before. Axis and Allies. See, now if I had it already, you know, I would have already played it, and we could talk about it in the archive dive.
Right.
But
we can't.
We are going to have to go into the basement.
All right. I think we can do that. That's not a problem. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, we ought to add a little special something to it. But this is a very important thing. This is a very special thing.
Yes.
For President Perna.
Yeah.
In that it's our mainstay. There's two mainstays, I think. And I'm flashing four fingers right now at the camera because that totally makes sense. But there's two mainstays in this show, the Archive Dive and the Turn.
Yes.
We're not at the turn yet.
No. We'll get there.
We are about to descend No, I can't let that go. You're going to get Access and Allies. I'm totally excited about this, okay? Because I've talked about this on the show before, and I love Access and Allies.
See how much I'm paying for it?
$12.
Nah, 20.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. Is it an original copy?
No, it's like a 90s version, so... Yeah,
still, that's all that's perfect.
They go for a little bit more, but yeah, it's cool. Oh my gosh. I'm excited.
All the pieces?
Yes.
So many pieces. I love it. I would tell you about the time my friends and I, we played like a 3-day marathon of Access and Allies.
But that's one of the things that's going to get me. I've got to figure out a time and a place to set it up. I'm tempted to take it to work and leave it set up on a table.
Yeah, if you can find a place where it'll stay undisturbed, that's perfect. It's like one of those things where you can come back to it. You could play like 20 minutes with some friends and then come,
lunch or game.
If you can, and assuming you don't get into a fight, you can move on. Okay, I'll stop. All right. Let's talk about the real deal. Let's go into the basement.
All right.
Let's do the archive dive.
All right. So, I have been obsessed with this company called Perplexed. Mm. And they create these little games that are about the size of a pack of Wrigley's gum. All right. Now, these games sell for $6 a piece, and I've never really been able to bring myself to buy one. But they look amazing. So, at Gen Con, they were pretty much across from our booth. So, I decided, hey, I've got a little bit of spare cash. I'm going to go buy two of these games. And I did.
It's such a strange thing to say that you have spare cash at Gen Con.
Well, I went on a budget because, you know, this year Gen Con was about making money for my family.
Amen.
And I had my birthday money, which my birthday was 4 days ago. I'm now 40. Slay right now.
Welcome to the party, pal.
But these games, there's two I picked up. I picked up Orc and Gems. Now, Orc was the one that I really had my eye on because it's kind of like a control game, an area control. And you really think, how can you have an area control game with these cards that are shaped in about the size of a stick of gum? But essentially what you do is you lay out, you pick like three cards that have all six colors on them. Then you lay the cards out a certain way and you take turns either drawing two cards or drawing one card and trying to take over the each different color territory. So essentially, you can gain, if you want them all, you can win up to six territories, or you can win up, you know, one, and the other person win five. And it's all about, you have to keep building the same colors up. Like, if I lay down green orcs, I've got to lay down more green orcs on my next turn. And once all the cards that are next to that little strip, and we'll probably have to post a picture about this, or a video at least.
Yeah, the link here is pretty cool. The picture I'm seeing is this is almost like a Rock'em Sock'em orc picture, almost. But yeah, it's pretty fascinating. And the idea of it being so small and portable, obviously, is a big draw for me because I like to have some portable games. Usually my go-to is like something basic like Sushi Go or even like a deck of Munchkin cards because you know, it's just easy to whip those out. And then you've done Zombie Dice before.
Yeah, Zombie Dice is good. Well, with the orc, though, I actually pulled it out and was able to teach it to my son, like, fresh out of the package, reading the rules at the same time, taught it to my 8-year-old in, like, 5 minutes, and we're sitting there, and we play two games. I win the first game, he wins the second game, and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm taking this with us on our next camp out, and the colors...
So these are super fast. I'm looking at the length of time. It's 5 minutes.
Yeah, it says 5 minutes, but you can keep going and going and going, and a thing that I have issues with, again, is colors. You know that because I'm colorblind.
That's right. That's right.
But the artwork is great. And I actually talked to one of the creators about that at Gen Con. I said, well, listen, which one? Because I really wanted to get Hugh as well. But I may still end up getting that. And he said that the way the cards are designed, they do have colors, but they also have shapes so you can tell them apart. And it's just a really cool little fast game. And... Yeah, I know it's an older game. It's new to me, though, and I love it. And it's actually been in my work backpack since Gen Con. So any time if I get the ability to take a few minutes during lunch and play with one of my coworkers, I will.
So you have your Evangicube
Yeah.
And then you have your perplexed game. I'm kidding. For all those out there, extra points if you know what an Evangel Cube is. And
oh,
it's
man.
Okay to admit
yeah.
you don't. I learned what it was this year when I went to Jordan. So I've been a Christian for 12 years now.
I actually learned what an Evangel Cube was about 3 years ago. And it's not a D6, people. I'll let you know that now.
No. But it is a pretty amazing little display of folding engineering. But in any case, okay, so I want to make sure I understand this. So it's a five minute game, but it looks like it compounds. Like you can actually kind of build upon the preceding game. Is that true or not true?
Well, I mean, you can just keep score. It's kind of like, you know, how you keep some of the older card games, how you keep tally, like what bridge and stuff like that. So
Canasta. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah,
we ain't going there.
It's okay. But I mean, you can take it, but like first one to 100 points wins, and or you know, yeah. or 100 territories taken over, if you want to make it longer than that. But that's the thing, though. I mean, I really don't think it would. You know, 30 minutes playing this game would probably get old in one setting.
Mm.
But okay. I mean, it's fun enough with a kid that you could show your child how to play it, and then walk away and another kid just swoops in and your kid can teach him how to play as well.
Nice.
You know, I try to take games on scout trips, and that's one of the things we do. Like last year, I was given a game from Impact Miniature called Dice Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I couldn't keep those kids away. They just wanted to play it so bad.
Nice.
That's
well, it's, and it's good to have something to connect.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. And you just set it up and you're off to the races. Now, okay, you obviously isn't good for radio, but you gave me a link, and I'm looking at a webpage right now.
Yeah.
It's a good webpage.
Yes.
I want to make sure our listeners know that.
Yes.
And it's perplexed.com, perplext.com. I'll put it in the show notes. And they have a section called Paco Game.
Yes, that's where you can... now, I think those may come preset. No, actually, you buy this little pod... Right, and it can fit 8 of these games in it, and it's like right now they're on sale, but you buy that and you pick which games you want in.
Orc's been around for a while,
yeah,
hasn't it?
I think at least a year. I know it's been at least a year because I've been eyeballing this for almost 2 years now.
As long as it's over a year, yeah. That qualifies it for the archive dive.
Mm-hmm.
That's key.
Yeah, Mike made sure that was key.
I'm looking at my checklist, and we've got that box checked off. We're good. We're golden. All right, perfect. All right, I don't know. We kind of started off with the whole old thing.
Oh right? Yeah,
the Abbott and Costello.
Lots of old stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of old stuff. Axis and Allies.
Yes,
I could go on for light years about how much I like that game. You know, dating back to, you know, it re-engendered my fascination with the History Channel back when it was all World War II all the time. It kept my friends close because as we lost having time, we grew into having families and we lost having time to be able to, you know, stick at a table for 3, 4, 8, 11 hours to play an RPG. We could, you know, one of our buddies had a table in the garage, and we set up Axis and Allies, and we played that for, I think collectively, it was probably about a week-long game at about 8 hours a day, but we played that same game for about a year because, you know, we just, hey, you know, you want to come by on Sunday afternoon? You want to come by after work? Yeah, let's do that. We'll have some dinner. We'll play a little Axis and Allies. Is Mike going to come over? Yeah, Mike will be here. All right, cool. Darren, he's on the way. All right. So it was kind of a nice little thing to come together on, right, and be able to do that together. And I think a lot of the times those old games that they kind of grab hold of us, right? And it comes with not just and your love of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons is legendary.
Well, and I'll tell you this, I've always had a problem with new versions of games.
Yeah,
because I feel that if you for instance, you know, I learned on second edition Dungeons and Dragons, but I really started playing hardcore on third edition. You know, second edition was like 1 year of my life in high school, my senior year, and then or actually no, my junior year, sorry. My senior year, I still played it a little bit. But a little bit after that, I kind of waned from it because I spent a lot of time playing Magic, Warhammer, and then I finally really got back into D&D at 3rd edition. And I always felt that new editions were just for them to find a better way to steal your money. That they made an edition so well that, you know, the only way for you to buy anything new is to, oh, a new edition comes out. Like, when it really got me, it was 3.5. It came out, and I was like, why do I need that? I have the 3rd edition handbook right here.
So what sold it? Did you end up...
No, I didn't go to 3.5.
You didn't go 3.5?
No, I went over to GURPS.
That's a whole other story right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is it about when... Is it a certain age time or age bracket where we fall in love with a certain thing and then that becomes our old thing that we carry through?
Right, yeah. Like, oh, you kids better get out of my dungeon. This was the best version of D&D. I only use game science dice and I only... See, and you're going to experience this in a few months. You're going to Gary Con with me and you're going to be running 5th edition games. I don't know who's going to sign up for your games because everybody there is playing 1st edition, basic edition, and Castles and Crusades.
You're making me sad.
Nah, it'll be good. There'll be somebody that signs up.
Somebody will show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just that people want to think that their thing was the best thing. You know, it's that whole, my generation was the best generation. This generation is nothing but a bunch of losers.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious. It happened in my small group earlier tonight. You know, they were like, you know, making fun of me because I just turned 40. And they're like, well, you know, Daniel, most millennials will probably live to be about 120. And then they're like, oh, wait, you're not a millennial. And then I followed up with I have the childhood memories of playing outside to you know, the street lights came on and not having to wear a helmet. And then that's when my wife chimed in. That's what's wrong with you.
Bazinga. Fair. But, yeah. That's fair.
So I do want to talk about something. When 3.5 came out and, you know, Wizards started working on 4th.
Yeah.
Something happened. Somebody grabbed the 3.5 licensing. And actually, from what I remember, they were part of Wizards for a while.
Yes.
And they kept the project going under a different name called Pathfinder.
Yeah.
It was just 3.5 with a new world setting, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the clunkiness of 3.5, they added more clunk to it, and...
They added crunch.
Yeah. There's a reason why we call it Math Grinder to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work. I mean, but the thing about it is these people wanted to make a very customizable game. I mean, you know, if you wanted certain aspects of your character to do certain things, it is Pathfinder. 4th edition came out and it was a horrible flop. The only person I know that liked 4th edition is Sean. And he always follows up with, it's a great miniatures game.
Well, let's park on that for a moment. Without the benefit of having Senor Sean on the show right now.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, because I'm thinking about my own situation with my love of Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I wonder, is it because of that age bracket? And it could be different for other people. Is it because during the time when he was really locking in on his love of the hobby and how he was built, you know, how God kind of designed him and how his mind works, his heart works, that when 4th edition came along, that keyed back to something that was formative for him when he got into the hobby. You know, like for me, you know what, I started with AD&D 2nd edition. Started with that. We only played like a half campaign. And we also tried Tomb of Horrors. That was right at the beginning. But then we jumped ship for a little while and we went to play Rifts by Palladium. Okay. Bonkers rules. Right? And adding salt to the wound, we went to Shadowrun 1st edition. And then 2nd edition. And then 3rd edition. And you know, the salt in the wound is that it's complex rules, but it's also interestingly designed and put together. And then when 3.5 came out, because we were so mental for these kind of grindy, crunchy type rules systems, 3.5 kind of scratched that itch and brought us back into fantasy. And that's when, we parked with 3.5 for a long time, accumulated all the books. I mean, I could take you down to my garage and show you pictures of all the 3.5 books that I have boxed up right now. But then, and then Pathfinder came out.
And I'll tell you, third edition Player's Handbook, my favorite cover of all the books.
That is a beautiful cover.
But the artwork, and this is what, like, the one picture that always stands out in my mind is when you're on the races page, and they got the line drawings of the races.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's so good. Stuff like that. Just the hand sketches. It makes you actually think you're like looking at like a field guide to something.
And it's very, I don't want to say earthy, and that's the wrong word. It's very textual. You know, like you feel it, right? You feel, like you said, like you've got a guide in your hand and you can feel the rough edges of the pages, even though the page you're looking at is smooth or you're touching is smooth. You almost feel that rough journal page.
But
love it.
So Pathfinder comes out, right?
Yeah. Let's get back to that.
And you know, here it is. I was playing GURPS. Everybody's like, Pathfinder. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. And then, you know, I'm switching over to Savage Worlds and Pathfinder's still like blooming. Everybody's Pathfinder. I didn't like the artwork, and to tell you the truth, I was a little intimidated by it, because the handbook was like almost 500 pages long.
Yeah, almost.
I mean, I have them, I've just never run them. But the thing also about, and I tell this for all new DMs, you should not be afraid to run any game. Once you have the understanding of the mechanics system, it just flows. I mean, you can switch in. Like, I say that Pathfinder is a D&D variant. It's true. You could flip between D&D, 5th edition, Pathfinder. You can Castles and Crusades, 3rd edition. Once you know how to role play and DM, it just flips so easily. And, so... Paizo. However you want to say it.
Look, I mean, James Jacobs is going to come plunging into your room. He's going to rough you up. Yeah, I swear to God.
I live in Tennessee, though. There's a problem with that. So, their stock was going up because Wizards released 4th edition. Nobody liked it at all. It was stupid. And
easy,
so...
Easy. For all our fans out there, like...
Okay, yeah. There might be somebody. Anyway, but so everybody started playing Pathfinder. Then Wizards did something. They mass marketed D&D, made it new again, and released 5th edition.
Yeah.
We've got it in TV shows. We've got celebrities now playing D&D. I bet you soon you'll get to watch celebrities play D&D on the internet. Oh, wait, we already have that. It's called Twitch. We don't have celebrities playing Pathfinder.
Yeah.
We don't have them playing Savage Worlds. They're playing Dungeons and Dragons. And that's because I want to say they get money funneled in there to do that. They probably do. I don't know. But
Wizards of the Coast is getting more money because people see these popular figures.
Yeah. Play D&D.
And it's not to take away from the fact that, you know, people like Jon Favreau. I mean, he's had a long-running game for years. They've gone through different versions or editions and stuff like that. So there's a lot of them out there that, you know, even some directors, they use, like Jon Favreau, they use the game to kind of, like, practice their extemporaneous and character positioning and stuff. So it's been out there. But, yeah, I think with the advent of WotC's move market it. It's helped.
But it's simplified. It's just Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
There's no advanced in the front of it anymore. And it's a really good introduction to role-playing for a lot of people because it is simple. It's easy to run.
Yeah.
But something happened. An announcement a few months back, and I finally got my hands on it, was the Pathfinder 2 playtest.
I don't like it. It sounds new.
It is new. It's the new, I mean, the old being made new again.
I don't like it.
They went through, and with 5th edition, they noticed their stock was probably going down a little bit. People switched over to D&D. And, of course, there's two types of nerds. They're like, let's play all the games, or no, I only play this game. Yeah. But for a company, you really want them to only play your game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that right there, I think it triggered something. That, you know, they've put updates out on rules and stuff like that. And I think it got to a point where they just finally had enough rule changes in the background with errata and stuff like that, and to where they finally just said, hey, we just got to go ahead and do a new version. And I've been looking at it, and you have the, I wouldn't say the complexity, you have the ability to make your character as complex as you want. The rules to handle is anything as complex as you want. And it's simpler, though. It's a lot cleaner. I think they officially made the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
Interesting. So I'm approaching this as not having really read a page from the new playtest. I knew it was out. There's a couple of podcasts that I listened to that they're prepping to do some, you know, some playthroughs. And I was, you know, I have it on my deck of many things to listen to in my podcast catcher. And it's interesting, but I think I fall into that category, like you mentioned, the second category, where I find something that I really like, yeah, and that's just what I do. So, like, for me, it's like Dungeon World and it's 5e. Yeah.
Well, you know, like, the, I guess the best way to put it is that they took, like, I'll give you an example. Let's do horseback riding. Okay.
Horseback riding.
Okay. Horseback riding in D&D is to say you ride a horse.
Yep.
You might have three things you can do on that horse.
Yep.
In Dungeons & Dragons. Well, you have horseback riding in Pathfinder playtest, right?
Well, let's talk about the original, like, the first 3.5 slash Pathfinder.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, what do you have? You have horseback riding, and you have to do ride checks for anything that you want to do. Like, you want to pet your horse's head, ride check. You want to draw a weapon, ride check. If you want to be able to attack and move past, you need to have a feat that helps you to do that. You have all of these different things you need to know to be accomplished in the saddle.
Right.
Right. So is that, how different is that, assuming you know, how different is that in the new playtest?
It's a lot lighter, but you still have all the commands. You can do, you can attack, you can do all these things. Like, for the three things that you can do in 5th edition, there's like 10 things you can do. But another thing is, though, you remember when D&D Next came out, when they were actually talking about the, you know, for the playtest for D&D 5th edition. Mm-hmm. And they just would give you snippets, and here's how you run this, and just a little bit of information, right?
Right.
The rule book for the playtest is 434 pages long. I mean, like, if you like this, I don't think you actually have to buy the actual game.
I never knew that. That was that big?
No, that's how big it is. I'm looking at it right now. It's 434 pages long for the playtest for Pathfinder 2.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just the rule book. On top of that, you've got other things as well. I mean, they give you an entire module to play through.
That's right. What are they doing? What's the module? Is it Ruins of Azalan or?
Let's see here, Doomsday Dawn, and it's over 100 pages long. I mean, it's not like a one shot adventure that you can do. It's huge. But I'm very interested in this now.
Do you detect anything in here that they feel they're trying to correct from the previous edition?
Well, again, they're trying to take away the crunchiness, because that's what got people to not like it. They had a lot of people that left Pathfinder just to go play 5th edition because it wasn't as crunchy. And, it, you know, to me, like, if you find a rule set that you love, run it. Because, I mean, you could be playing Pathfinder, but you can also be dealing with stuff with, like, Ravenloft in Pathfinder, because once you learn how to run games, you can, on the fly, I switch up those modules so much that, I mean, I could run Sundered Skies if I wanted to in D&D 5th edition. It's not an issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you just know the rules. You just find out your stats on your monsters and you're done. I mean,
right.
But yeah, I mean, it just looks like it's going to give us the meat that we want, but in the easy digestible format of a hamburger. Instead of a nasty old hot dog.
Stupid hot dogs. Wait, yeah, I love hot dogs. Take that back.
Yeah, me and my dad had a thing with hot dogs.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
My wife and I were having like complete conniption meltdowns because our local Costco, and I think Costco's around the nation, are looking to get rid of their hot dogs.
No! Like the $1.25 you get a hot dog and a drink.
And it's still, I mean.
We don't have a Costco, but whenever I get a chance to go to Costco, that's what I always get is one of those hot dogs.
That's like finding out they're coming out with a Pathfinder 2. No, I'm kidding. Completely not comparable because Pathfinder 1 is insanely expensive and still fun to play. It's kind of my old thing would be Pathfinder because it speaks towards the things that I was doing back when I was younger and the kind of crunchy type of games that I played. So I get that. But, yeah. I mean, I've also kind of moved away from it. You know, I've transitioned away from the crunchier rules and gone with things like I said, like with Dungeon World or, you know, stuff that's powered by the apocalypse and then things like 5e, of course.
Well, I want to read you one thing there right now. It's been almost 20 years since the end of the Goblin Blood Wars that scorched the Chitterwood, forcing dozens of tribes into hiding. We can play goblins. Pyromancer goblins.
Play goblin in 5e.
Still, though, they actually had a playable race in Pathfinder.
Well, that kind of loops in with a couple of things they did with Starfinder, right?
Yeah.
Like with Starfinder, you can actually play an undead. I was one of the. It's one of the playable alien, quote unquote, alien races.
And see, the cool thing about Starfinder, it's just the same universe as Pathfinder, just in the future, and it's pretty cool. And I haven't got a chance to play it yet. But I know
I'll reach into that. You know what? That reminds me. I'll reach into that old versus new, or old is new bucket, or new is old, whatever. Old is new bucket. The traditional view of elves.
Yes.
Right. In the D&D realm, the Forgotten Realms, Greyhawk, that sort of thing. The fae ancestry of elves. That's not in Pathfinder.
Right.
In Pathfinder, the idea is that elves came from outer space. They're an alien race of some form.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's enhanced in Starfinder, right?
And actually in the Doomsday Dawn, I was reading in it, and what they're trying to keep is from a portal to be open that another planet of an alien race is trying to come to their world to eat their brains.
Brains are delicious.
Yes.
Brains are delicious. So, okay. So there's this idea of old versus new. The new, in a lot of cases, especially in our hobby, you know, whether it's, you know, let me ask you this, because I'm more of an RPG-er versus a board gamer. In board games, do you see in board games that have iterations, do you see them, you know, either replacing things? How are they making things different for a version in a board game?
Usually in newer versions of board games, it's something to the line of a rule change. But if it's just a rule change, they'll make that rule available for download. Usually
like an errata
yeah,
thing.
Errata. Yeah. Look how many Fury of Draculas has been out.
Yeah, and I do like the last version.
Yeah, it's like, but I mean, they tweak the rules. They might make the miniatures a little bit better. I mean, I got one of the first sets of Scythe at Gen Con, and the miniatures on them, I hate them. They're like really low detail, and people send me miniatures to paint of their Scythe sets, and they're really high detail, and I'm like, that's all I can do. I mean, there's nothing I can really do about it. I have an older version. I mean, the FOMO was strong on me that day. I had to get it. And
what happens if they run out?
Well, that's the thing with board games. And that's why FOMO is set so hard in that industry. Is because board games, unless you're Milton Bradley, board games are done in a limited run. You know, they might make 20,000 copies of a game that might sell out in 2 weeks. And you might not ever get that again for another 10 years until they can figure out to get more money. I mean, look at Gloomhaven. I mean, it's one of the hardest games to get. Yet, they've done 3, I think, runs of it so far.
Right.
It's just it's one of those things. I mean, that's why the FOMO runs deep. And And I use that at work too, because I work in tech. FOMO runs deep in tech, you know.
Yeah.
Some of my coworkers got new monitors this week, and I couldn't be happy for them. I'm like, can I order a new monitor? And they're like, only if yours breaks. I'm like, really?
I have a CRT. Can I just throw it out the window? No, I'm just kidding. Reaching on the graphic.
I've got a 34-inch widescreen 4K display, and I want the new monitor because it's 38 inches.
All right, you're insane.
Yeah.
I would love to have a 34-inch 4K. But, okay, let's do a curveball on old versus new. Cartoons. Old versus new. You know, how do you see cartoons changing things? You know, we had the recent change up with you know, a new version of Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
I just got done watching season 7 of Voltron. I have to say it's my favorite season so far. But when you see the transition of old versus new, how do you see that as an impact?
Yeah, I think old versus new in cartoons, if you go back and look at He-Man,
mm.
Okay, as a child, we thought it was amazing.
Amazing.
As an adult, it was a 30-minute commercial.
Yeah. Why are you reusing those cells over and over and over?
Right. But it was literally a 30-minute commercial. I think with newer cartoons, they've become more subtle in their way of marketing toys to children.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could tell if they're never going to have toys for a mm-hmm. cartoon, then they're usually pretty good.
Yeah. And this, like you said, the subliminal is a lot less. I mean, I only wake up maybe 3 times a night screaming, yeah, I want a Voltron toy. So, I mean, it's very infrequent. Yeah. I'm trying to, that comparison to how awful He-Man was before. It's like, yeah, when I first heard the new Voltron was coming out, I went back and I think at the time Netflix had the full complement of the old Voltron show.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I was like, man, it just doesn't key in. No. Like, I watched the first couple episodes and I was like, I need to stop now because I'm scraping away at my childhood at mm-hmm. this point. And so it makes me, this topic makes me think, so what was it that connected me with those old cartoons? What was it that connected me with things like Shadowrun and the Crunchier systems? What is it within me that, you know, kind of... Yeah, what about my nerdness?
It's the gatekeepingness of our childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, we look at it this way. You know, we grew up in an era that only really high IQ nerds played RPGs, and that's the issue that they're dealing with now. Especially, I've read a lot of Reddit stories where people have just gotten into the hobby, and they go into their local game store, and they run across some kid that they picked on when they were in high school for playing D&D or doing this, and they're like, you can't be here. This isn't your thing. This is my thing. And people get called out for it. You know, like, you yeah. used to be the jock. How are you playing D&D now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't accept them as their brethren or a new friend that they could possibly make amends the way. They tear them down. And it happens a lot on the internet. I mean, yeah, we get that. And it's not a good thing. You know, we talk about that in the past, about the way we treat new gamers and stuff, that we need to treat them like Christ would treat a new Christian, you know, like with love, and show them and guide them into the true way of playing really cool games like 40K.
Now, look, I may be an old grognard who loves this old 40K, but I will tell you that I would welcome you with open arms, and you better bring an open wallet.
True.
New, you know what? Oh, gosh. I mean, is it too early to maybe kind of make a gentle turn
a little bit? Go ahead.
A little gentle turn?
Yeah.
Gentle. A new creation.
Yeah.
You brought this up as a great verse to think about as we were talking about this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this context, while it's not as lighthearted as you know, new versions of games, that sort of thing, it still speaks towards the newness of being a Christian, the newness of, you know, kind of that reconciliation that comes with accepting Christ and realizing that you're reconciled with the Father above and being that new creation. seeing how we change, how the old is made new.
Right.
It made me think about that when you were mentioning about, you know, folks who before thought nerdiness was awful, yeah. but now, you know, all of a sudden we become the gatekeepers. We're the ones who are saying, you may not nerd with us.
Right. And I mean, if you look at the second verse off that, 5:18, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Boom. I mean, our job is to literally forgive people.
Yes.
And so, as Christian gamers, we can't hold grudges against people. That's you right. know, I can't be mad at somebody for being new into this and liking this version better than this. Or, you know, if I had somebody in the past that jaded me for another reason, like maybe I did have someone that beat me up a lot in school growing up, and now this person is one of my kids' teachers. That's actually happened to me.
That's a true story.
Yeah. So,
oh my goodness.
and thinking of a bully that used to threaten to beat me up every day, chase me down the halls, he's now one of my son's teachers, and he actually teaches... or he's part of the anti-bullying campaign at their school.
Everything is new again.
It's so weird. And I had to forgive him in my heart.
You have to. You have to.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise that word doesn't work.
No.
Our whole faith doesn't work.
Right.
Right?
Our whole faith is a faith of forgiveness.
It's the cornerstone of our faith. Love of God and forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, God, it is so tough. That situation right there,
yeah,
it is so tough. How do you do that? How do you go into a store and you see, you know, like you said, the jocks that used to be, you know, to waylay on you and stuff, and now they're coming in and buying D&D. You know, how do you reconcile yourself to be able to forgive Sean for liking 4th edition? How do you do it?
Through love.
Yes.
I mean, I had to forgive my son when I introduced him to my version of Transformers, and he said it's boring. I just walked out of the room.
Come here. Just turn around. Let me pull the dagger out of your back. Let me get that. Oh my gosh.
But seriously though, I mean, you know, and there's people now at the comic stores that are looking at this new version of Pathfinder and said, I'll never play this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is too simplified for me, because I'm a lot smarter than everybody else.
Right.
I used to play with this guy. I know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sorry I'm calling out. Everybody has that one person in their life that's like that. And this guy needs Christ. We'll pray for him. But the thing is, though, I mean, like, it's every store. There's going to be that guy that says,
sure,
this is stupid. I'm not going to play it. And that's fine. Play what version you want to play. And I'll see you at GaryCon playing Pathfinder first over on your table, having fun. That's the key. You're having fun with what you're playing. I'm having fun playing what I'm playing. Jeff is maybe having fun playing 5th edition.
Jeff is sweating over in the corner, not knowing what to do with the 8 players around his table.
But again, though, the key is, if you like what is there that you've been playing and you're having fun with it, that's great. Don't judge anybody for not liking what you like.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's a perspective shift.
Yeah.
Right? Because our hobby, and I'll own up to this absolutely, because I know I do it. Our hobby almost engenders that gatekeeping personality, right? Because you find something that you gravitate towards that speaks to
you. And you
want to
tell everybody about it.
And you want to, exactly. You want to, the positive part is there at the beginning, because it's like, oh my gosh. You know, when I first played a Powered by the Apocalypse game, I was a nut, right? I was like, oh, if you guys play Dungeon World, why aren't we playing Dungeon World? We totally got to try it. You guys are going to love it. It's narrative first, blah, 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 blah. But then you have to be careful of crossing that threshold of saying, ew, you're playing 5e. They're trying to be narrative first. Get out of here with that. We're playing Dungeon World.
Yeah.
You want to play on Roll20? What?
No, Fantasy Grounds.
Fantasy Grounds, you jerk.
Well, I will tell you, The one cool thing.
Oh, we're starting it.
Oh, no, I'm just telling you that this is a Pathfinder thing, not a Fantasy Grounds thing, but it is a Fantasy Grounds thing. Was one of the things that really take me towards the playtest was right after the Pathfinder playtest was made public, like a few days later, they made it available in Fantasy Grounds for download.
That's cool.
Yeah,
and that's the turn of the industry.
Yeah,
I mean there's so much connection happening now with these games, thanks to things like the Fantasy Grounds, Roll 20.
Yeah,
even just getting on a Skype session and being able to roll dice locally where you are. I mean it's big. You got to connect with those mediums for sure. It's nice to see that. It really is. Yeah.
Just happy.
Fantasy Grounds, get out of here with that mess.
Oh man, you know it's awesome.
It is.
I mean, we'll never get the new version, but it's great. We finally got 64-bit support and it's great.
Hey, as soon as I pay off my car, I'm selling it and I'm buying the new version of Fantasy Grounds. No, I'm just kidding. That's it, man. I'm sold. I'm in.
I'm like, I see people playing over Hangouts with nothing but a video camera and some dice. I'm like, you heathen. Play it like it's meant to be played in the elegance that is Fantasy Grounds by Smiteworks. I'm not paid by them, guys, just let you know.
It is an interesting thing to see that after you've gotten used to using the tools that are available out there, and you're thinking, there was one time I got invited over, wonderful Jake Norman, Mini Terrain Domain, he's part of our tavern as well. He invited me to a game, and I said, we'll be using Roll 20 or Fantasy Grounds? And he's like, well, if we have to, we can use one or the other. I'm like, what? You know, and this is an audio-only format. You can't see my eyes bugging out. But I was like, really? And I almost said heathen. Yeah. But I didn't. And then he says, yeah, we just, like you said, we get on Google Hangouts and we do the game that way. And I realized, so what do you do for dice? Well, you just roll locally and we just trust each other. And I'm like, I'm going to be a real jerk if I say I don't trust people over the camera.
Well, you know, and I was thinking today, you know, I've been role playing for years now. And
we won't talk about that.
I keep graph paper in my backpack. Where inspiration, but I'm sitting here, I barely get it out because that's what children do. I use Dungeon Meter. But yeah, I will doodle, but then I'll transfer it over to a digital medium and like, but it's just that thing, it's like, I feel like it's an elitist thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm thinking about when my prep for Gary Khan. And it's so many months and down the road, and I don't even know why I'm doing this right now, but I'm debating on whether I want to, how many books do I really want to bring? Can I just get away with one book and then have everything else on my tablet? But then I was like, oh, maybe I should get, you know, some notebooks. I'll just get some notebooks and I'll put my NPCs in one notebook.
Are you going to borrow my first edition of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons books? Because you know that's what you're going to run.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. Don't tempt me.
See, now this is the thing that you're going to need to go and buy a first edition handbook on eBay. And there's a reason for this. Because you're literally going to walk around and get signatures.
That's a good call.
See,
that's a good call. I like that.
I took my monster manual and I had Tim Kask sign my belay at the front. Because he named the belay.
If you guys don't know what a belay is, you guys are going to go and Google that stuff.
Yeah, if y'all don't know what belay is, y'all playing the wrong game.
Gatekeeper.
But and then, you know, I had Ernie sign my DMG.
Nice.
And you know, where Tensor's floating disk is. And then
you can't have him sign a tablet.
And then I had him I had Luke sign Melf, the area with Melf in it. You know, 'cause that was his character. And I mean, and then I had my Ravenloft, and I got the Hickmans to sign my Ravenloft.
Perfect.
And so I'm just like, I'm like a little kid at this convention. This is a great, the world's greatest convention. I'm just gonna put that out there, guys.
Well, I can't wait. I'm excited.
But yeah, Jeff's been so excited, just to let y'all know, he has until the end of the year to get his stuff in there, but yet he's been pestering me all week about getting his stuff in there.
How dare you. By the time this show drops, I'll have my stuff in there. Get out of here with your mess.
I'm gonna wait until like October.
How dare you. I'm looking at plane tickets now. Let's see, how am I going to fly in? I think maybe I'll get there like in November. It starts in March, right? Yeah, that's plenty of time. Yeah. I'll set my table up and everything. It's perfect. I hope my boss understands.
Yeah.
If they don't, I quit. Oh my gosh. I like the idea of this new playtest. I'll admit it. I do. I have a bit of fear as an older gentleman of something new. Because I have to learn something new and my brain's not as fast as it used to be.
You're going to play it with me on Fantasy Grounds.
I do fear that I'll have to play it on Fantasy Grounds. I have to admit, there was a little bit of regurgitation with that. But I can stomach through it. But I think after having a good conversation like this, and I think if you're willing to go out on that limb, new stuff can be good, right? And if we can kind of pattern ourselves after the newness that we should feel as believers, that, you know, we are a transformed being, that we are reconciled, that we are okay to be in this new form. I think having that kind of mentality for everything else is going to be very helpful. And as a dyed-in-the-wool nerd, as you find something that you really like, you'll stop at that threshold before becoming a gatekeeper and actually just stay within the realm of saying, have you heard about Dungeon World? Have you heard about Fantasy Grounds? Let me just tell you a little bit about this. If you don't like it, oh, that's okay. It's okay. I just want you to know that I appreciate it, and I appreciate you for listening. Just like, you know, we really appreciate all of you for listening to us. A couple of nerds chit-chatting back and forth.
You know Mark's going to kill us after he hears this episode.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I thought I'd wait like maybe 3 episodes. Then I'm going to have a bunch of weird sound effects in the background. You know. So all of a sudden there's a laser shot. Like, why is that there? Who knows? Who cares? It's there. Pew pew. It's new stuff. New stuff.
All right. New stuff is good.
It is.
If we don't innovate, we die.
I like that. That's a tech. That's a tech industry little slogan there.
I always use that at my interviews. If I don't innovate, if I don't learn something new, I'm dead.
That's a wonderful point. Learning something new. Otherwise, you become stagnant.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff. Well, I had the honors of closing us out last time. And it's been a long time since I did. I think I did okay. But I want to turn that honor back over to my main man here. So take us home, man. Take us home.
Well, you all need to remember that God is the game master. And no matter how the dice fall, the game goes on.